This is The Deep Dive with Brooks Spector. Investigative conversations about issues that impact our lives. Be curious. Friday mornings at 9 a.m. only on 101.9 High FM.
This is The Deep Dive, and I'm your host as usual, Brooks Spector. And my guest today, James Urdang of Education Africa. And we're talking with him not specifically about education in Africa in the very narrow sense, but because we are talking about an international marimba and steel drum band competition and rally from literally many countries. James, I knew Joan Lithgow, and my wife worked with her on various things over the years. And if you'll allow me to say this, sitting under the desk that I'm sitting at is an Indonesian version of a metallophone, a gender, which we bought many years ago in Indonesia. So we have a fondness for the marimba and kinds of instruments. But tell me about this festival. What's going on? Why are we having this, and where is it, and who's involved, and what happens in it, and pretty much everything?
Well, first of all, good morning, Brooks, and the IFM listeners. First of all, going back to your first question about or mention about Joan Lithgow, Joan was our marimba mama. She built up the Education Africa Marimba Project to what it is today. She went into retirement, it's close on 2 years ago, and I think a well-deserved retirement. She worked very hard, and she's now concentrating on other areas and remains a good friend. The festival really originated from Joan Lithgow. She brought it to Education Africa, and today it's one of the biggest kinds of festivals like this in the world. It brings together over 2,000 participants. This year we've got countries from South America, South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Botswana participating on one stage. And I think what's very special about the festival is that it's very inclusive, and that's what music can do. So we have deaf, we have visually impaired, we have physically disabled learners performing on the same stage. And I think that's the beauty about music. Music brings people together and opens up, and it's no different to sport.
I think a lot of people, they think in a very narrow sense, it's a bunch of people with those beaters in their hands, and they make noise, and it's pretty routine stuff. But some of the videos that I have seen from Education Africa's marimba program are pretty complex pieces of material, music by Vivaldi and similar kinds of efforts that don't sound childish. They sound like serious efforts to make music using marimbas.
That is correct, yeah. So one thing, what's the beauty, the way that Joan taught marimbas, to open up to as many people as possible in the way we do it today, is through patterning and sequencing, so through memory joggers. So you don't have to be able to read music, which is a beauty. But when you talk about Vivaldi and that, it is amazing what can be produced. And I know that that's had a lot of likes and views around the world. But what can be done on a simple instrument, it's not an orchestral marimba, so it is a simple instrument, is amazing what can come out, what these learners can produce, the teachers can teach. And it's an instrument that really, as I said, is very inclusive rather than exclusive.
Long-time friend of mine, very, very good friend, years and years ago, Kabi Ngoma brought marimba teaching to the University of Zululand many years ago when he left Johannesburg, and we followed that as well. But you don't just have marimbas in this festival. You've also got steel drum bands, the kind of thing that used to, like 80 years ago, they were taking empty 44-gallon oil drums and turning them into musical instruments. And now it's no longer sort of a handmade, chopped up oil barrel. It's something very different. And they're tuned and they have pitches and then all the rest. And that's part of your festival too, am I right?
So the biggest part of the festival is the marimbas, but we do offer steel pans as well. It is a smaller part of the festival, but I do find steel pan an amazing instrument and the sounds that it can produce. We've got Dave Reynolds coming up from Cape Town to run some workshops on steel pans as well. And Dave is, I think, the number one steel panist in the country. So it's wonderful to have him participating every year. And he can teach you, come along and you'll be able to learn and how to play as well. So it's not only about listening. We've got 16 different workshops happening during the two-day festival as well. So there's a lot of fun. Go to the actual competitions, go to the festivals, go to the food stores, go to the workshops. So it's really a great day out for family and friends.
You have schools from around South Africa who are participating, in addition to the countries beyond South Africa, the U.S., Lesotho, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. You've got many schools from throughout the country. How do you organize and finance this kind of thing? I mean, this is a serious bureaucratic and managerial task that you take on.
No, it's a big task, and we get donations, and then we also, you got to pay to enter the festival. Save if you're a disadvantaged school. So out of Education Africa's got our own marimba hubs. We've actually got 37 hubs and we have over 2,200 learners in our marimba program every week during school term. We give free entries to those learners to participate and to a number of other schools that can't afford to get in. But obviously there's the more advantaged schools that pay. So you can say some of them are paying to help others. But I think it's a great way of social cohesion, bringing together different cultures, different sectors of society, people from different wealth brackets, etc. And you all perform on the same stage, you all perform equally, and it's just a beautiful experience to see.
Is it a festival or is there a competitive element in this? And I have a reason for asking this.
Festival that is a competition. So you've got all the different categories, and you'll have in each category, you'll have a third place, a second place, and a first place. You've got top adjudicators that will adjudicate the festival, and something that people want to compete.
Years ago, going back to my Indonesian experience, for reasons that mystified me, I was asked to judge a gamelan orchestra competition. There were 20 gamelan orchestras from around a whole chunk of the country. And the terrifying part was I was asked to judge the competition, and they all played the same music. And for the life of me, I had no way of figuring out who I was supposed to judge on the basis of what. How do you judge a marimba competition?
So I wouldn't be able to judge a marimba competition, to be honest, but we do have some classy and experienced adjudicators from Innocent Ngwane. He's a tenor choir orchestra conductor, multi-instrumentalist. We've got Ngani Puchon Onda, a composer, arranger, percussionist, a chromatic marimba player who's performed widely in South Africa and abroad. We have Chantal Early Peterson, she's a composer, educator, scholar, and actor for women empowerment in music. We've got Dorette Vermeulen, who holds a MB music from the University of Stellenbosch, performance in Lichtheid in piano, and earned her BM music honors and doctorate in music. We've got Daniel Cherobili, an Italian-born musician. He's also the director and founder of awesome African music festivals. And WOMAD, and you've got Sean Adams, a pianist and organist from the University of South Africa. So there's distinguished panel there to adjudicate the festival.
So they're going to be judging not simply on, gee, all those people are having great fun, but they're going to be judging on the quality of the performance. They're going to be judging on the complexity of the training and the production of the performance. So this is a competition in earnest that people are going to be performing at. Am I right?
Absolutely. So you've got four sections that they will be judged on: is your ensemble, your performance, your arrangement, and your stage presentation. And those are all broken up into different categories. It's all computerized, so the judges will score, and it adds it up very quickly. They can comment, so even all those who participate at the end can get the feedback of how they did, where they were good, where they're bad, etc. Any comments that come across. So it's very professional.
Do they all play on the same set of marimbas, or do they have to keep changing the instruments in and out of the, on and off the stage? Or is that sort of evened out by the fact that everybody has the same instruments to work with?
So there are different marimbas. So you get AMI, you get the marimba workshops marimbas, you get the Zimbabwean marimbas, and you get amongst others. So, and then you get people who don't bring up their own marimbas, but then you get others who'll share, and we've got our marimbas there. So there's a lot of tech riders that you've got to actually get the instruments set up properly for each performance. But there's a big sports hall, so you have good 100 marimbas out there to work through and to set up different things quite quickly.
Well, I'm just I'm visualizing this room now with all this going on.
Yeah, I think it's also very fun and amazing to watch is our mass marimba production. So we normally have about 500 marimba players who learn one piece within half an hour, and then they perform it for everybody when they come back after lunch. And it's really a fun thing to see so many marimba players performing one piece. So it's taking place this Saturday and Sunday. The 25th and 26th of July at St. Dominique's Catholic School for Girls in Boksburg. They've been a wonderful partner for us, giving us their venue over the years, and they've got the right facilities to be able to cater for this.
And there, let me ask, I assume the ticketing to attend is very modest or free, or is there a serious charge associated with it if somebody wants to show up?
So ticketing is done through TicketPro. So you can go into TicketPro and you can buy tickets either for a day or 2 day pass, whatever it might be. And obviously the tickets help us cover the cost of the event, etc. It's even though Education Africa is a non-profit organization, a charity, it's still quite a costly exercise for us, this.
Can I shift gears slightly for you? This is just one part of what you call Education Africa. You have other activities and other things that are done in addition to the marimba and the steel drum band. I want to get back to the steel drums in a minute. Give me the context within your organization that is beyond the marimba and steel band competition festival.
So first of all, Education Africa, we over 34 years old now, or young. So we've been around for a long time. One of our first projects was our school in Orange Farm, Masbambani College, which is partnered with St. John's College and funding from what's originally from the city of Vienna. Mm-hmm. We, in fact, in May, celebrated our 30th anniversary there. And we've got over 1,250 kids, or learners, I should rather say. Last year, we amassed in the middle of Orange Farm 88 distinctions. You've got a government bachelor pass, a university pass at the moment sitting around 46%. Last year we were at 61%. So we push quality. I think that's very important. And there's very few schools in category one areas that are high performing like Masbambani. Then we've got our early childhood development, training of preschools teachers at a SACWA NQF level before, so national qualification level. We've got 9 training centers. Last year, we had 190 preschool teachers graduating with their national qualification through us. This year, we've got 251 teachers registered, and hopefully we'll have a small, bit of an attrition, which is normal. And hopefully by the end of next year, we'll have about 230, I'm hoping, teachers graduating. We also train our own trainers because I find it very difficult to find good trainers in South Africa. So we train our trainers to train. We got 121 member preschools. We've got technology through our mentorship program in early child development. We link 150 teachers into our training studio at the office. And we build preschools through our voluntary programs. And then we've got our Marimba program. And so we keep ourselves very busy.
This is The Deep Dive, and I'm your host, Brooke Spector. And my guest today, James Erdong from Education Africa. We're talking about the Marimba Steel Band Festival, but we're talking about the larger mission as well. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
This is The Deep Dive, and I'm your host, Brooke Spector, and my guest today, James Erdong of Education Africa. And we started by talking about the Marimba Festival, Marimba and Steel Drum Band Festival, actually, that they're hosting this weekend in St. Dominic's in Boxburg. But we're beginning to learn a bit more about Education Africa's broader activities, the training of trainers, the training of teachers, support for a school, all manner of other activities. James, tell me, how did you get involved in all of these things? Where did your interests get attracted, and what led you to this?
I now tell my story, Brooks. You can go get it at Exclusive Books. My memoir was published last year. It always seems impossible. It has a glowing forward from the Nelson Mandela Foundation and cover shout out from Sir Bob Geldof. It's been a bestseller. It's on the Sunday Times long list, nonfiction. So I'm very proud of that. So it really, my life, I came originally from a special needs education background when it wasn't really understood in the late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. And so I struggled through schooling and left school with the school leaving certificate, but I also wanted to help other children to not have that fight that I had. And I think through the transformation to democracy, I could see there's an opportunity to start an organization. And I was very lucky to be mentored by the late Walter Sisulu and work with Nelson Mandela. I think all the stars lined up for me and started off. I was St. Cillian's old boy, and they had started school in the Lowveld called Penryn College. So I started doing some work there as we were starting the organization, and got the opportunity with the City of Vienna, with Walter Sisulu telling me to build the school in Orange Farm. And before you knew, things just grew and programs grew. And yes, over the last 34 years, things have changed. There's been challenges. In fact, you might even remember the South African Model United Nations, and that was us as well. And why it's not running today is in the book because of some corporate dishonesty. And there is whistleblowing. In fact, the book that I wrote, the person actually made me brave enough to write it was actually Lord Peter Hain.
I don't want to use the word honestly, but you come to this kind of work devotedly, shall we say.
Yeah, I'd say so. Look, I'm not obviously like anybody else on this planet who all like financial stability, but I've been driven by helping others, to giving educational opportunities, because educational opportunities didn't come easy to me. Well, let's say opportunities came to me, but getting through it didn't come easy, because those opportunities around for special needs in those days, you were looked at as this naughty, disruptive kid.
Somebody had to understand what your circumstances were, as opposed to why simply saying you were misbehaving or doing things you shouldn't do.
Yeah, so obviously, like when I went, in fact, I started school in 71. I went to King David in Victory Park after the first year of schooling. I couldn't read or write, so they put me into Crossroads, which was the first remedial school they started in 1966. And it was in a house in Parktown. Today, it's a fully fledged school in Victory Park. But then they put me in another house at the same time, and that was Tara Psychiatric hospital in the children's clinic as outpatient for about 3 years. And then I mainstreamed at St. Stydian's and struggled through schooling and just left with the school leaving certificate.
And it's been a long road ever since. Can I turn back, if we can, to the other part of the marimba and steel drum festival? Why steel drums, and how did that become a thing in this country? I mean, it's originally a Caribbean idea. It's a Caribbean specialty, and although you see it occasionally here, it's certainly not originally local.
So steel pans come from the Caribbean, and we have the Trinidad and Tobago Embassy or High Commission normally involved with the program as well. We've included it in the festival for many years, hoping that someone will take it on and grow it. It's still limited in South Africa. I think the marimbas have taken off across the country extremely well, and I think it's coming a center instrument at many schools and community centers, which I think is absolutely fantastic. But we still keep the steel pans, even though, as I said, it's a small part of the festival, because I think it's an important instrument. It's also an instrument that is different. It's something that anyone can learn to play. And again, you don't have to be able to read music on a lot of these instruments. And I will say it's a beautiful sound.
It's got a nice warm timbre to it. Yes, I think that's how I would describe it. I looked at a chart of a where the notes are on a steel drum head, and I didn't realize till I did that little survey of mine of the material that the pitches are different from one part of the drum head to the next, and it isn't simply a percussive instrument. It produces actually different notes, and that came as a surprise to me. I didn't realize that till this morning.
If you even think of a djembe drum, or any drum, if you play in the center, it's going to be more bass, and you come out, it's going to get that more sharp sound. So I think it's a similar thing, I'm guessing. I'm not a musician, so I'm commenting from running an organization that has a music department. But I can pick up the same as what you do.
I'm going to have to ask my wife about this. And she's the musician in the family, or my daughter, because she's a musician too. Me, I can't carry a tune, and I gave up piano lessons when I was 12. So I'm not the expert on these things. Looking forward into the future, how do you plan to grow this? Just as it happens, or are you on a particular organized, planned effort to keep growing, adding more schools, working hard to get more support and sponsorships? Do you have a long-term vision for this?
Yeah, so for the organization, we have a long-term vision, which we call Future Ready Now, is to make the organization sustainable, scalable, and intergenerational. And we've got a whole structure on that and strategic plan. Our biggest battle is not scaling our programs, but obviously funding, like most nonprofit organizations. And we're always looking for funding and sponsorship. We have a massive push at the moment to grow and early child development, develop more teachers. We've got a push in bringing more of our marimbas also into our preschool marimba programs, because there's a cross-pollinization. I think what's also so important there is that music's so important also in a child's development. And then the marimba festival, I'm not sure if it's going to grow much bigger because it is so huge at the moment. So I don't know, the facilities, I think that's a bit limited to around 2,200-odd participants.
That's a lot of people already.
That's huge, yeah. So it's really on a first-come, first-serve. It's the biggest kind of its kind in the world. But what we are pushing is the growth of the actual marimbas into more schools, more community centers, more preschools, and that will grow exponentially over the coming years. But as I said, it all reads down to funding. As a charity, a nonprofit organization, we're going to rely on the kindness of others.
I'm going to allow you to say, or I'm going to say on your behalf, if people listening want to help financially in support terms, how do they get a hold of you? How do they get in touch?
There's two ways. They can just go straight to our website, www.educationafrica.org, and hit the donate button. And if anyone wants to contact me, and they can find me at james@educationafrica.org. And we also Level 1B compliant, and we also have PBO states and give tax rebates, etc. So we're an ideal partner for any business, corporate, and individual.
If I wanted to have a marimba branded with my name, would that work?
Absolutely.
I can see people wanting to do that, actually, because that gives you a real sort of visceral stake in the thing, rather than just a more abstract sense of, well, I gave money.
So I think it's important with education. So we have four different sort of donors, like any other charity. But we've got those who make donations straight to the organization because they know it's got to run. And then mm-hmm. you've got those who want to ring fence their funding. And we're very good in making sure that we can account for any ring fence funding.
Ah, yeah. So that if for the sake of argument, I chose to give money for the training of trainers in a particular way, that's what it would be, rather than just sloshing around in a general fund.
100%. Absolutely 100%.
I mean, this is wonderful. Again, we're going to take another station break in just a minute. Let's remind listeners, we're talking to James Erdang of the Education Africa program, but in particular, the Marimba and Steel Drum Band Festival competition that's taking place this weekend at St. Dominic's School in Boxburgh. And we will be right back after these messages. Don't touch that dial. This is the Deep Dive on Chai FM, and this is your host, Brooke Speck. We'll be right back.
This is the Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
This is the Deep Dive, as you know, and I'm your host, Brooke Spector, as usual. And this is Chai FM, of course. And my guest today, James Erdang of Education Africa. And we're talking specifically about the Marimba and Steel Band Festival competition that's happening starting Saturday and running through Sunday. But we're also talking about the larger mission, purpose, and projects of Education Africa. The Marimba and Steel Band is just one part of a much larger effort. James, what happens to students who participate in these competitions? I mean, talk to me a little bit about the psychological bump upward or benefits that come out of this kind of intense group activity. What does it do to people to be part of something like this?
Yeah, so Brooks, what I've noticed over the years is, and especially through the entries, participants get, and the schools and the community centers and people who come down from other parts of the continent to participate. It's a highlight on the annual calendar, the festival. And I think it's like, in a way, saying it's you coming to the Marimba Championships, you're going to be playing the best from the best from the region. And obviously not all schools and community centers participate, but I think it's a platform that can, it's fun, it's exciting. It's, to me, no different going off to one of the rugby festivals. It's well supported. And it's really a thing that's not just about one music piece or one race or one this. It's a whole 2 days of festivities, not only the competition side, but the workshops that we run and the stalls and the fun and the excitement. And you can really make a day of it or 2 days of it.
Now, you've got, as you said earlier, you have participants from some surrounding countries in Southern Africa, but I'm intrigued by the fact you even have a group of students coming from the United States. They've come a long way for this. What part of the country are they coming from?
The American participants, they are doing an online section. So we've one part of the festival that has participants entering online. And those online participants can be from anywhere in the world. And they include from South Africa, and then obviously we've got from America as well.
Do they get to participate in the large group ensemble with all, you know, the thousands of kids all doing it at the same time?
No, the online, what happens is that they've got to submit their pieces, and then they go to the adjudication panel, and they then from tomorrow, and in fact, I think they start today going through them and judging them, and mm-hmm. then placing them in each of the different compositions that they've entered.
Theoretically,
but they'll also only be announced on Sunday.
You could, if you wanted to, or if you had the capacity to do it, you could encourage participants globally.
Absolutely. So I think when Joan retired 2 years ago, we had to take a year's break to rebuild the whole thing. And so it's our young team who's got it going, and I think they've done a fantastic job in being able to get our Zimbabwean and Botswana schools back and get up entries from America. But I think from next year, they'll be able to push again that we'll have more international participation on the online side.
No, I think that's, I mean, I remember years ago, one of the Olympics, it would have been, was there an Olympics in the year 2000? I'm not sure. But it was one of the first times that they had simultaneous participation in one of the music numbers from 7 or 8 different countries all working together simultaneously so that they were all playing at the right speed, the right time, and the whole rest of it. And it was really the first time that happened. And the wonder of it was extraordinary. You're doing something a little less technically complicated, but equally, I think, interesting. And I really hope that works. Let me just do one
I'll
other.
Just come in there, though, Brooke, sure. If you don't mind, is that during COVID, we had our online and in-person Sounds of Celebration concert, and that was collabs with, for example, our school in Orange Farm, Masimbani College, collabed with the Vienna Boys Choir. And you've got to get all those technicalities right. So we do that sort of thing. We had a lot of, in our Sounds of Celebration, which in those days was partnered with Sydenham Highlands North Shul, and did a lot of collabs with performers from around the world.
Now, that's something I'd never heard about. That's fascinating. I guess the last thing that I'm intrigued with, what happens to students after they've gone through this? Do any of them go off and become musicians? Do they go study music or as an actual professional direction?
So obviously there's a huge amount of students involved. So the minority will get involved with music, but Education Africa has our alumni program, and we have students who come through to us, and they participate to come in part of our All-Stars Marimba Band. And we also train them up how to work in festivals, how to work in competitions, how to work on stage at different events, etc., so they can build careers in marimbas. And we also teach them to be marimba teachers so they can go off and teach at schools.
For at least some of the participants, there's an actual professional dimension that leads into adult life. That's wonderful.
Absolutely. And all those kids that were with us from school years to young adults, I mean, most of them come from poverty-stricken areas, and this has given them a hope in life and an opportunity to come and build themselves out of poverty.
And it's probably more interesting, I'm going to go way, way out on a limb on this one. This may well be more interesting than just kicking a football around in the afternoon after school.
Absolutely. At most schools, it's an extracurricular activity, and there's a lot of places where I see that, just like you want to try get in the first team rugby, you all want to get into your prestige band at schools. So it's a beautiful instrument and something fun and for anyone who can participate. As I said, we've got the first deaf marimba band from Hammanskraal we trained. We've got visually impaired. We've got physically disabled. And it's such an inclusive instrument.
I don't know. Does the name Evelyn Glennie mean anything to you?
100%.
I mean, you know, when you talk about people who are differently abled, now there is somebody who made more than just a professional career out of percussion instruments, even though that she is profoundly deaf. And I suspect that you may find that some of the kids who might otherwise have been unable to participate in certain kinds of things, they can find their niche in this. Marimba's got that wonderful vibe, and you can feel the vibrations. And I guess it probably just is a possibility even for such kids.
Yeah, Evelyn Glennie, I mean, is absolutely amazing, and she's known internationally. But to be able to say that we got a group of children from Dominican School for the Deaf in Hammanskraal, taught them to play marimbas, and then they performed live on stage with Ladysmith Black Mabaso, and CNN did a documentary on it. It was absolutely amazing to see. In fact, we're very blessed as Education Africa. CNN's done 3 documentaries on our marimbas. To get one done will be something.
This has been, I've learned all kinds of things from our conversation. I must tell you, this has been enormously gratifying to me to have a chance to talk with you. We've been speaking with James Erdang, who is the CEO of Education Africa. And at first I thought we were just going to talk about a marimba competition, but whoa, the door opened to all kinds of other conversations and other directions. And I really, really appreciate this. It's been a great time having a chance to talk with you.
Thank you, Brooks, and thank you to the HFM listeners.
I'll take up the cudgel. Anybody who wants to participate by supporting financially, if you want to participate by attending, it's at St. Dominic's School for Girls in Boxburg, Saturday and Sunday. And we have been speaking with James Erdang, as I said, CEO of Education Africa, on our program, The Deep Dive. I'm your host, Brooke Spector. We'll be back again next week with another guest in another topic and another field. In the meantime, everybody be safe, be careful, and we'll be right back with you again next Friday morning.